Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to Center Point. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Anbar. In this show, we will discuss ways that we can journey to our own centers. This can help us access our inner resources to improve our physical abilities and health, our mental strength, our emotional well-being, and our spirituality. Today, I'm very happy to welcome back to our show David, who spoke to us a couple of weeks ago about his difficulties with drug addiction. Hi, David.
Hey, doctor. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for continuing to tell us your story, because I'm hoping that listeners will learn what they can do and maybe what they shouldn't do so they don't follow the same path. From our first show together, you told us how you were exposed to weed and alcohol as a teenager, but then you used methamphetamines for the first time and immediately knew you were hooked. And my big takeaway from our first show was that your parents had told you that drugs were bad and would kill you, and when you met at the age of 16 a peer who seemed to be well-adjusted while taking methamphetamines, you started doubting that what you had been told was true, and that's one reason you used the methamphetamine for the first time, and you concluded that you wished your parents had told you the whole story so you would have been in a better position to evaluate the dangers of drug use. We also
that's
talked
correct.
About how you were in rehab on a number of occasions in Tijuana, but you said it was not a good experience. You indicated there was there was a long story behind it, so maybe you can tell us what rehab like was there in Tijuana.
Sounds good to me. So, yes, one of the very interesting laws in Mexico is that your family can essentially sign your life away. So if they go to a rehab establishment and they sign on a piece of paper that they would like to submit you as a patient, then therefore the rehab is in legal standard to you know, to essentially kidnap you and to, you know, to keep you in their possession, and so that's exactly the case of what happened to me. I was living in TJ at the time. I moved there. This is also a longer story, but you know, obviously, when you're using drugs and relapsing, you're making poor decisions in every aspect, financially, in relationships, and obviously with your health. So, in that time, I was also having issues with my first relationship with my first wife. And so, I was living in TJ, and I had left my first wife, and I was living there alone. And so I relapsed, and my family could not find me. It took them about a month for them to find me. And so finally, once they found me, that's when they found this rehab, and the rehab people, you know, made them feel very comfortable, and that we'll take care of your son, and we'll save his life, and we'll go get him, and we'll save him, and so to the family members, they make them feel comfortable, right? And they're in this horrible situation of fear and uncertainty and despair for their family member, for their son or daughter or what have you. And so you have a bunch of these guys, right, that are giving you assurances and giving you all the right answers. And so you jump. And it's very understandable. So that's exactly what played out. I was using methamphetamine and heroin at the time. And quite a lot of it. So I was pretty lost. And I mean, little did I know, I just started hearing banging and cracking and banging and my door flies open and my dog like flies across the room and I mean, it just all happened so quickly, and I just see three guys at my door, screaming with you know, hats on, and I kind of think that their faces were covered. I can't remember honestly, and they were in plain clothes, so they weren't police, and obviously I wasn't in my right mind. And screaming, and my two larger dogs were barking, and sooner than later, two guys had me by each arm, and they were dragging me down the stairs, and then I start screaming, because, you know, in Mexico there's other types of danger. Which kidnapping and you know, stealing people. And so my brain was there. And I said, I'm going to die. These people are going to kill me. I must have pissed someone off, or I must have done something wrong. And I start screaming and screaming and screaming. I mean, on the top of my lungs, they get me into their truck, and then again I see that the truck is not a police car, so I start screaming more and more, and finally, you know, they were giving me, you know, little slaps across the head. And, you know, I got a little jab here, a little jab there in my torso area. Kind of, you know, just to intimidate me. And, maybe a couple slaps across the face too. But ultimately, finally they got me to shut up. They had me in the back seat. It was a pickup truck, so they had one of my arms out through the third, you know, rear window. And the rest of my body, obviously, inside the cab. And one guy on each side of me. So I wasn't going anywhere. Oh, and then there was a guy holding my arm from the cab, from the back. And so one of the guys says, "You're going to be okay." And I'm like, "What?" And he's like, "Yeah, you're going to be okay. We got you." And I still didn't realize what was going on. And then finally I read their shirt and said, "Center de Rehabilitación." So it said, you know, rehab center. So then I calmed down, obviously. They got me there. They stripped me down naked, made me squawk, cough, all the above. And locked me into their version of a detox room with a bunch of other guys, and that was that. And I was now a prisoner. No communication from my family. When you first arrive, you're pretty much kind of like kept in awe, not a lot of information. They start giving you information little by little, like as it rewards. It's a despicable situation. But all throughout that time, your brain is realizing that you caused this situation. So it's an inner battle just as that is. So there's so many stories that are involved in being there and, how the way of life it is in there.
So describe a typical day. What would you do in a day?
So a typical day,
quote unquote rehab.
Right, there you go, quote unquote rehab. Right. So it's a discipline system. And it is also a 12-step program system, but it's 80% discipline and 20% 12-step. And so you wake up at, let's say, 5:30, and you're going to your first Narcotics Anonymous meeting, which is also on the premises. All meetings are on the premises. You never leave the premises. And so the first meeting is, if I'm not mistaken, 2 hours. And that's just a traditional Narcotics Anonymous meeting, except, they try and bring up like a sense of morale and routine. So everybody recites the prayers at the same time with, a stern, heavy voice. And if they have like guards walking down the aisle, so if they see that you're not participating, you get a talking to. Hey, participate. And so on and so forth. If you're acting out, then, the next guy gets involved, and the next guy gets involved. You start losing privileges, or you get taken out, and you have to wash blankets by hand in 5-gallon drums. I mean, there's countless different disciplinary actions. You had to sit and your feet planted on the ground on the chair. You couldn't slouch or fall asleep. Rigid.
So the question, as a Jewish person, are the prayers non-denominational, or are they like Christian? How does that work?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
As a Jewish person, I'm wondering how you felt about the prayers. Were the prayers non-denominational, or were they Christian prayers you had to sort of deal with?
They are non-denominational, but I would say most non-denominational prayers in the world, I feel, are still somewhat Christian or Catholic based. Maybe that's my own feeling. but it tends to feel that way to me. So I believe the person who built the 12-step program was definitely Christian or Catholic, so that they, the prayers had that feeling.
And throughout this time, are you aware when the end date will happen, or is it somewhere in an indefinite future?
So there's a lot of games, mental games played in these places. So essentially, the program is for 3 months. But if you're really a messed up individual, your family could keep you there for 6 months. Or 9 months, or a year. So, you know, it also depended on how well the guy that, you know, does the intake manipulates your family. And you know, you are always in this, every minute of your existence in this place is an existence of uncertainty, and where you feel like you're at the control of another human being, and your behavior will dictate a lot. And so, you know, when you get your first visit from your family, which is at 2 weeks' time, you know, you want to tell them everything, but at the same time, if you tell them stuff and they don't take you home, then the staff, which, again, they're not staff, they are also people that are there, that have decided to stay there, or it's typically just, they're guys that have decided to stay there and work there. But they still really are patients. But those patients are typically and usually voluntary patients. They're not people who their family took them and made them stay there. They're people that asked to come in. And most of those guys, that's their way of life. They kind of live off this system. And so, if you say too much to your family members and they don't take you home, you are gonna get a big talking to from one of those guys, or a beating. And then you start losing privileges, you get shunned by everybody, you're not a team player. It's a very, very extreme mental game, and I mean, I'm just explaining it with words, and I'm sure it sounds rough. Now, you know, imagine living it. And then with all of these guys, right? 120 guys that most of them are, I mean, and I say it with respect, but unfortunate circumstance, most of these guys are homeless street people. And so I learned a whole bunch of stuff I shouldn't have learned also on top of it. Stuff that, you know, you would never know if you weren't an addict, or you didn't live on the streets. So, you know, it's just a situation that I don't recommend for anybody on the face of the planet Earth, and it does no benefit to an addict at all, other than you learn a healthy dose of discipline. And And I with that healthy dose of discipline comes appreciation for what you have and what you don't have. So, I mean, I can't say that it was for nothing, and I can't say that it didn't help me in some sort of way, but it definitely did damage in other sorts of ways, resentments towards family, learning about street stuff and drugs and how to do other drugs. I mean, and the list goes on.
How much was your family paying for a day at this resort?
So that place, I believe, charges Dakin something around $50 a week.
$50 a week. Not very much.
And so, you have to think about exactly what is it that they can do with that money. Quite a lot of nothing.
And how long did you end up staying in this facility?
The first time I was there for 2.5 months. In some miraculous way, I got them to let me out.
So, when we come back from our break, I want to know what happened when you left the first time, and then I know the road became even more complex thereafter.
Sounds good.
We'll be right back after these messages. This is Centerpoint with Dr. Ron Unbar.
Coming attraction, Life Guide for Teens, Harnessing Your Inner Power to Be Healthy, Happy, and Confident. A new book by Dr. Ron Unbar to be published early 2025. Dr. Ambar's renowned counseling practice, Centerpoint Medicine, doesn't fix teens who are struggling. They give them the tools to heal themselves and support them while that healing happens. Life Guide for Teens will share Dr. Ambar's tools for self-empowerment and give teens hundreds of tips to choose from to help themselves heal. The book will be available from Amazon and wherever fine books are sold.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Ambar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com or visit DrAnbar.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Dr. Ron Unbar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At Centerpoint Medicine, with services in La Jolla, California and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at CenterpointMedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
If you are a medical or licensed healthcare professional or just anyone looking for a qualified hypnosis practitioner, then go on over to ASCH.net. That's the American Society of Clinical Hypnosis. At ASCH.net, you can get certified, attend workshops, and even find a hypnosis practitioner or consultant. ASCH provides an opportunity to learn and interact with colleagues. So whether you're a professional wanting to learn hypnosis or a patient wanting help with a problem, visit ASCH.net now.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to Center Point. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Anbar. Our special guest, David, who described, I guess it was a hell of a rehab in Tijuana, which you went through more than once. But when you first were let out 2.5 months later, had anything changed in your wish to use drugs, or what happened then?
So, you know, when you leave a place and a situation like this, you, I mean, you know, like any documentaries that you watched about people leave, you know, getting out of jail, I would say it's similar to that. You know, you are coming back to a life full of freedom, and typically you're on your best behavior. And so that's kind of what it was. I came back to my life. My wife, she took me back, and at that time she was pregnant with my daughter. And so I kind of went back into that life. They let me come back, you know, come back into my life, right? And I was a good and safe individual. I was clean. I wanted to be clean. Let's see. And that's how it stayed for a good amount of time. And I would say for a fairly good amount of time. I'd say about a year. Longer than a year, actually. But, so in that time, I was going through something else. So my daughter was born, and about 6 months into my daughter's birth, my daughter being at home, and living in married life with a child, I decided to accept a part of me that I was hiding. So I accepted my sexuality. So I came out to my family and to my wife that I actually like transgender women. So obviously that ended my marriage, and so my wife, she moved out, and I then went and proceeded to find out what it was to live that style lifestyle. And I did that. And all was well. And I was able to find somebody, and I did. And that, unfortunately, that brought me back living in TJ. My relationship with my ex-wife became friendly and healthy, and still to this day, thank God, and we care about each other greatly. And for some reason, I thought that me accepting that part of me was going to fix me. And little did I know that that has nothing to do with the disease of addiction. So, sooner or later, I relapsed again. And so that was the second time, in that rehab.
Did you relapse with heroin and methamphetamines again, or something else?
Yes. Okay. Heroin and methamphetamine. And that was my first and only time of use of crack. And that was very scary. So I figured they're going to come and find me, and they came and found me. That this one didn't take very long. They knew where I lived because I was there for quite a while. I was clean for quite a while, I'd say about a year or longer. And so they took me back to the same rehab. So, you know, when you go back to this, go ahead.
I was just saying, how long were you at the rehab this time?
So this time I did end up doing the full 3 months. But 2 weeks into it, I tried to escape. And when you try to escape a place like that, you become public enemy. So I got the punishment and / therapy, they call it, of having to manually bucket out the septic tank in your underwear. And it's as bad as it sounds. Literally. It would be, you know, everybody who was that bad and acted out that bad in different ways got on that list. And so me and another guy were the two worst guys, and so I had to throw the bucket down into the hole, and he had to pull the rope, and I had to then grab the bucket out of his hand once it came up, and then pour that bucket into another bucket, and then guys would come and bring empty buckets, and they would go and throw it out into the sewer into the street. And we were all in our underwear, no shirt, no socks, you know, pretty much naked, and we would, you know, pretty much literally get covered in shit water. Sorry for my French. And that water would end up, you know, in my hands, my face would, you know, splash into my mouth. So you can only imagine. And so there you go. You get a little more resentment and frustration. And, but anyway, I did that on every Saturday for 3 months.
Now, did you ever spend time in an American rehab, or was it always in Tijuana?
We spoke last time. The first rehab was in San Diego, was in Del Mar, San Diego. That was a very nice one. And then after those two rehabs in TJ, I did a good amount of rehab, detox, stints where you go to like a mental hospital and they medically bring you down, or get you healthy, with medications or whatever is necessary for a couple days. It could take 2 days, it could take a week. I did multiple detoxes, throughout my years. And then I did a couple like outpatient rehabs where I was already clean off of the substance, but I was going to an intensive therapy, you know, 3 hours a day for 3 days a week, that type of thing. You know, accountability and you know, doing a urine analysis 3 times a week. And so, you know, that keeps someone clean, right?
Right. So when we come back, I want to hear from you how you got involved in narcotics, and specifically, I think, fentanyl.
Right.
This is Centerpoint with Dr. Ron Unbar.
May Make-A-Wish has been granting life-changing wishes for children and families for over 40 years. A wish is something that gives children the opportunity to look outside their illness and restore a sense of childhood back to the child. With the help of donors and more than 43,000 worldwide volunteers, Make-A-Wish has collectively granted more than 520,000 wishes worldwide. Dr. Anbar has referred many patients to Make-A-Wish. To make a donation, go to worldwish.org. That's worldwish.org.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Ambar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com or visit DrAnbar.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Dr. Ron Ambar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At Centerpoint Medicine with services in La Jolla, California and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at centerpointmedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Coming attraction, life guide for teens harnessing your inner power to be healthy, happy, and confident. A new book by Dr. Ron Ambar to be published early 2025. Dr. Ambar's renowned counseling practice, Centerpoint Medicine, doesn't fix teens who are struggling. They give them the tools to heal themselves and support them while that healing happens. Life Guide for Teens will share Dr. Ambar's tools for self-empowerment and give teens hundreds of tips to choose from to help themselves heal. The book will be available from Amazon and wherever fine books are sold.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Sunday Point. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Ambar. Special guest, David, who has filled us with stories about a horrible rehab place in Tijuana. And hopefully the listeners will take from this that they never want to be that bad that they have to go to such a place. But even after the second stint, you continued to use drugs, and at some point you encountered narcotics. Can you tell us how that happened?
I believe that most people who end up with these harder substances like methamphetamines, heroin, and fentanyl, typically happens by accident, and or someone gives it to you on purpose, but you didn't know it. But anyway, I ended up trying fentanyl by accident. I believe that the gentleman knew what he was doing, what he was giving me, but I didn't know what I was taking. So I, you know, immediately knew that it was stronger than heroin. But after trying it, I wasn't complaining. So that was my first,
encounter.
Trying fentanyl.
Was it a pill?
Encounter.
Was it inhaled? How did you take it?
So it's a powder, and that powder you can be ingested in many different ways. But typically for the harder drug users, they're going to be injecting it into their veins. I have never done anything like that, thank God. And so, the gentleman had me snort the water mixture of it.
And explain, David, the mindset. Once you're addicted to fentanyl, what does it do?
Well, and that's where we are in an extremely dangerous territory, because it changed me. It affected me in a grave way. It changed the chemical makeup in my brain forever. Well, obviously I don't know, but I know how I feel after the fact. After getting sober, being off of it, I know that I'm no longer the same person. So my disease of addiction is stronger. I am, you could say I'm more weak when it comes to my disease. So unfortunately, I now have to be on a medicated treatment to prevent relapse, because I have relapsed on heroin and fentanyl for the last, I would say, 10 years. Multiple times a year. And so, you know what? I mean, it's just no longer worth it. It's no longer worth it to try to be completely off of any sort of medication. It is very, very worth it to be on a medication. And I feel 100 million times better and safer. And so that's where I'm at today. But, you know, it takes a lot of trial and error to get that situated also. What medication, insurance, relapsing, the correct doctor. It's very, very difficult. And what's scary is in any one of those moments, you can die. And that's what has happened to me. I have overdosed 3 times. And I don't know how it is that I am speaking with you today.
Could you describe what one of the overdoses felt like, or how that worked?
So, the whole overdose is a whole radio show in itself. But I didn't realize that I was using fentanyl incorrectly. I did not know that you're not supposed to snort it. So that's how I overdosed 3 times. And so, I took it, and then I guess I overdosed. I didn't know. I had moments of waking up, like I felt the cold breeze hit my body. And so my brain came to, right? I felt that. And then in the ambulance, I felt the warmth of the light hit my face. So my brain came to, and my eye opened, and I saw a paramedic. But barely, right? And then I remember not seeing, but saying, I'm okay, I'm okay. And I remember hearing, no, you're not. you know where you are. And I remember that. And then I remember getting out of the ambulance and being wheeled in, you know, up, like, you know, fast, like the wheels, I could feel that. I can remember different moments of the emergency room. And then once in the emergency room, I entered into a massive, incredible, most horrific vivid nightmare that is extremely hard to put into words, but I will attempt it.
Well, we're coming up on another break, yes. So maybe we can reserve till after the break, but I guess what I want to know is, after your nightmare, did you regret having done what you did, or did you feel like I'd do it again? And most importantly, the last thing I want to talk to you in our last segment is, how did almost dying three times change your life? And did it give you spiritual feelings or not? We'll be right back after these messages. This is Centerpoint with Dr. Ron Anbar.
More than 30,000 children and adults of every race and ethnic group in the U.S. have cystic fibrosis. Cystic fibrosis is a disease causing long-lasting lung infections, limiting the ability to breathe over time. Dr. Anbar participated in research that helped advance survival of cystic fibrosis patients by more than 20 years. He encourages you to donate to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation to help find a cure. It's easy to donate. Go to cff.org. That's cff.org.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
If you are a medical or licensed healthcare professional or just anyone looking for a qualified hypnosis practitioner, then go on over to ASCH.net. That's the American Society of Clinical Hypnosis. At ASCH.net, you can get certified, attend workshops, and even find a hypnosis practitioner or consultant. ASCH provides an opportunity to learn and interact with colleagues. So whether you're a professional wanting to learn hypnosis or a patient wanting help with a problem, visit ASCH.net now.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Anbar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com, or visit dranbar.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Dr. Ron Anbar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At Centerpoint Medicine, with services in La Jolla, California, and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at centerpointmedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Centerpoint. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Anbar. My special guest is David, who is describing parts of his life related to his addiction, his terrible time in rehab, how he overdosed, the nightmare. So you had a nightmare when you came out of an overdose. What was that like, David?
So, I mean, not only is it very difficult to put into words, but At the same time, I was convulsing. So my entire body was jumping up between 1 and 3 feet in the air in the hospital bed. Arms and legs flailing. I guess I was screaming. And this was going on for, I guess, hours. So obviously, that chemical reaction between fentanyl and Narcan, which is the substance that they use to bring someone out of an overdose, is incredible, and it's hard to obviously scientifically pinpoint what is happening, but it definitely caused something.
And so,
but it definitely did save my life.
Yeah. Once you came out of it, like a few days later, did you say, why did I do that? Or did you say, oh, I'm going to do it again? How did you feel?
Oh, no. No. I definitely did not want to do that again. because the physical withdrawal at the time was, I mean, not even the withdrawal. I was medically, I was almost dead, right? So I guess I had no energy, no power. I could barely move. And then also on top of it, in complete and utter dysphoria withdrawal. So it was one of the worst experiences I've ever had.
And yet, you overdosed 3 times. So,
and yes, I have used after that overdose.
No. All right, now, so tell me, David, so tell me the last few moments. You've almost died 3 times. You're in a good place now in life, thankfully. You're on methadone. That's a drug that you had mentioned earlier that helps control the urges. How has your life changed, maybe for the better, perhaps, as a result of your experiences, your difficult experiences?
Well, and so, you know, it took time. It took time for me to figure out the correct medicine. There's really only three medicines for this. Two substances, methadone and buprenorphine. Buprenorphine, it comes in two forms, Sublocade, or it comes in multiple forms. But anyway, I found out that buprenorphine, for me, wasn't the correct substance. I just needed more and more and more of it. It wasn't enough. It didn't medicate me correctly. And so once I tried methadone, it changed my life. And so, you know, now today I can say that I truthfully, I am not afraid for my safety against myself. Now, I am never cured. The disease of addiction does not get cured. And the minute an addict believes that it is typically when the addict relapses. So we don't go there, right? But
you mentioned earlier that you're lucky to be alive, or you can't believe you're alive. How does that change your view of your life, of this world?
Well, honestly, at times it's a hard pill to swallow, because I know of countless people or circumstances of families that have been torn apart from this drug, that people didn't make it, people that were given to it by accident, cocaine laced with fentanyl, and they died. And I was going and purchasing fentanyl on purpose and using it, and I didn't die. And so for me to still be here today, I have to be worthy of these chances that I've been given. And I have to share these stories and suffering that I have endured to help others not go down the same path and make these same mistakes. Because this has to, it had to have been for something. It has to be worth something. And I just have decided I'm not going to stop until I know that I have, you know, been deserving and of these chances that I've been given. And that's just all I care about is just to be this man I am today, and I don't regret any of it, because I wouldn't be the person that I am today. And all I want to do is just help others and keep repairing the relationships that I hurt, and be a bigger and better David every day that I can.
So you really are fulfilling the 12th step of the 12 step program, which is service. This is what you're doing.
Right. Well, that's the name of the game, and me helping others helps me. And you know, it's real out there. This is not a joke. This is not. I can't not say it enough. Fentanyl is not a joke. Fentanyl changed my brain. It made my brain okay with being homeless. It made my brain okay with giving up my family and where I was going to sleep that night and where I was going to eat and what clothes I was wearing. I didn't care about anything. All I cared about was using the substance. I was hanging out in homeless encampments. So you can only imagine. So please, don't go. Don't go.
And I think it's also worth underscoring that somebody introduced you to fentanyl, to be careful who your friends are. This is especially to the teenagers and young adults. Be careful who you surround yourself with, because somebody might one day decide to slip something that's going to change your life in a bad way forever.
Yes.
David,
yes.
Thank you so much for sharing so much with us. I know it'll help improve people's lives, and I appreciate your service. And I wish for you.
It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure.
A fulfilling future life for many, many years. This is CenterPoint. You're welcome. With Dr. Ron Anwar.